When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 235th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr., my man. We are just days away from the 5th annual Double or Nothing pay-per-view. How are you feeling, man?
5th annual Double or Nothing pay-per-view. I am beyond excited, beyond stoked. I've mentioned it on the show. It's kind of cool because the 5-year anniversary of Dynamite is shortly before my five year wedding anniversary. So they both happened in the same year. With AEW came and was born, and then you know I got married in the same year. So it was like those mean a lot to me. It means a lot to me as far as how it lines up. I remember it was that year. It was June. So we got there in May, and then in July we got married, and we were supposed to go to this resort in Florida, and then they got a hurricane thing, so we ended up canceling that and then going literally right back to Vegas. Stayed in the same hotel I did in for Double or Nothing. So it was like 2019 Vegas, you know, 2024, 5 years. I'm going to always remember it. I remember there being their first time. I actually rode to the arena, the MGM Garden Arena, with Amy and Andy Nemedy. They took the Uber over with me to the show. That weekend, that's when I first met your parents. I think that's when I met you, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I met you and your parents that weekend at Caesars. So that was cool, and it's just, that means a lot. How my life has changed, like, from 2019 to now. I didn't even know JR. That's where I met JR.
It's wild.
I met JR at the StarCast. He was trying to meet Tiffany, and I introduced. That's where I met JR. It's like, and when I tell people, like, this AEW time has been the best time of my life, I'll tell anyone. I love the wrestling. I love the wrestling. I love, that's what brings me to the yard every time. But my friends, my family, that has what made AEW forever for me.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the thing I cherish more than anything, for sure. Yeah. For sure, that's what I cherish more than anything. Yeah. And I'm so hyped that y'all get to experience it. Like I said before on the previous episodes, I will be home, and my entire family will be in Vegas, but I got a giant hockey tournament I got to cover for work. So I will not be able to make it, but I will be super excited to see you guys have a blast in Vegas. So we're going to get into everything, the go-home show of Dynamite heading into Double or Nothing, and our preview of the Double or Nothing pay-per-view and our predictions for Double or Nothing. So we're going to get into all that. But before we do, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show, whether it be Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, whatever you listen to us on. Give us a download. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. And rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can also follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. And you can check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And we getting into the big news of the week is, of course, the fifth anniversary of Double or Nothing. I mean, just again, we'll talk about it again. 5 years since Double or Nothing. The first. Dude, I swear to God, I can still remember the hype going into StarCast 2, going into the first Double or Nothing, and just like the excitement level. And then, dude, we were so stoked when that show closed out with the debut of Jon Moxley, and just seeing how everything has changed and grown since that point is just absolutely insanity. And it's so incredible. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And it's just crazy to see this wild ass company's made it five years.
Just think about all the people that, you know, wanted to be signed that weren't, you know what I mean? Like, just if you think about it, you know, the Scorpio Skies of the world, and SCU had their run, and, you know, they never really had a shot. Will Hobbs and all the people that have come, Darby Allin, you know, just all the people that have come through and may or may not have ever been looked at by the other company, but they're perfect for AEW. All the people that work in productions, you know, people trying to get their foot in the door in some way. And, you know, AEW exists for all those people. So to, you know, everybody that got employed over the last 5 years that probably wouldn't have been employed. I mean, you think about somebody that works, like Social Suplex is represented. Like Rich does, you know, music and stuff for AEW. And it's like, you know, does he get that chance? You know, does he get that chance if there's no AEW? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you think about these type of people that you know and love. Like, is Excalibur like a household name if it's not for AEW? You know, somebody like that. And it's just Aubrey Edwards, the face of pretty much the refereeing in AEW. You know, it's like, where are those people? You know what I mean? And oh, yeah. I'm really happy they got a spot. And, you know, I love that, you know, they had their, it was all about pro wrestling, you know, like what I grew up on, that shit I grew up on. Like this guy versus this guy, that's the story. This guy wants to beat this guy, that's the story. So dream matches left and right, bangers, you know. I mean, AEW has upgraded my taste in wrestling so much. And I even say it's like a two-edged sword. It's because I enjoy AEW so much when I watch other wrestling. It's like what I used to think was great, I no longer think is great. You know, my standard has just increased as far as what great wrestling is. And it's like, so that's happened because of it. And I've never been in a wrestling company where I knew security guards, backstage people, backstage talent.
Yeah, and that was never the case with me, too.
Yeah, yes, just going through and waving people, like giving hugs. Oh, it's good to see you again. It's just like, when people's like, oh, it became a family. And I'm like, I do know. I pay to go there. I pay to go to the arena. So it is a business very much. But the people I see, you know, are like, you know, they're like part of my wrestling family, as I call it. You know, these people that I see at every event, Juanita, Van, you know, Amy and Andy Nimity, the other Amy, Lauren May, all those people I see at like every show, they became, you know, this tight group. Like, even if you don't talk every time, you know, you see that face every time you come to an AEW show.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. We'll go ahead and move over now into the AEW Dynamite from this past Wednesday, taking place in Bakersfield, California. The show opened up with freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay teaming up to face the AEW International Champion Roderick Strong and Mike Bennett and Matt Taven were ringside for the match, as Roderick Strong was in the match.
Correct.
First of all, Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay, all the moves versus none of the moves. It's literally like the guy who tries so hard and does so much versus the guy who doesn't try at all. Seeing Ospreay do his pose and then Orange Cassidy follow it with the most like half-hearted like pose, and then like Ospreay jumping off the top rope and doing like 40 flips in the air, and then just Orange Cassidy comes up, soft little elbow drop off the top rope. I love that dynamic, first of all, and it made the match super, super fun. Trent was able to get a ton of good moments, I felt like, in this match, and spearing Orange Cassidy off onto the floor was amazing, and the match was getting great reactions. But basically, at one point, Don Callis actually grabs Orange Cassidy's leg to stop Roddy from hitting the end of Heartache. So he actually helps out Orange like significantly. Wardlow then proceeds to run from the and just off of a great dive, Tope Suicida from Will Ospreay, and he's gassed up. Wardlow comes through and just bulldozes over, like, he just got rocked as he just clocked him in the back of the head, basically threw him into the ring, and he got hit with the end of Heartache. And then Trent proceeds to beat up Orange Cassidy on the outside of the ring with some help with Wardlow looking on the outside. But after the end of Heartache, Roderick gets the pin. Undisputed Kingdom then just continue to beat the crap out of Ospreay while Trent Beretta is beating up Orange Cassidy. And then Roderick took his international championship and smashed it onto Will Ospreay's head, busting him open. And both of these matches, this was basically both matches getting their segment to build hype for their match. So all the heels looked menacing in this one. I thought the match was really good. I like the fact that Trent is really just getting after Orange Cassidy and making him suffer. It makes me want to see Orange Cassidy be able to do this, especially if they can just like signify how much he's doing this for Chuck Taylor and how much he's doing this just because like his friend turned on him and all that kind of stuff. And then Roderick Strong getting off a really great amount of heel heat, and because he is going to be in a match that very well could steal the show. So I thought this was a really good opening to the show, though.
Yes, it was a really good opening to the show. The contrast of Will Ospreay and Orange Cassidy was amazing. This is one of those nice little go-home moments where, you know, just you put these two people together. Because Don Callis has been helping Orange Cassidy, that kind of built the relationship between Will Ospreay and Orange Cassidy teaming up. And then, you know, Roderick Strong just wants the backbreaker people, and he's okay with that. So, and Trent's a man with no island. He's a man with no family right now. So he'll team up with anybody as long as it means getting to beat up Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, and he revels in doing that. If he can just beat up Orange Cassidy all day, he would do it 1,000%. We then had the Young Bucks handing out photos of Darby Allin to AEW security, basically giving the order that Darby Allin is banned from the building. And then Sanjay Dutt comes up and talks about how, you know, Satnam Singh is going to be going up against Bryan Danielson tonight. And, you know, if he beats him, that's cool. That's good. But if he'd hurt him ahead of Double or Nothing, that'd be great. Even better. And Sanjay was like, yeah, we're going to snap him like a pencil, as he snaps his pencil in his ear and then just laughs maniacally. One thing, too, about the photos that they were handing around, too, because this has been done before, too, I will say. Obviously, many AEW fans will remember when the people in the next segment, the Guns, wanted the fans to stop chanting Ass Boys. So they handed out, like, literal, like, press releases about, like, don't say Ass Boys when the Guns make their entrance. And they put him on like the front row of every single floor seat. Basically, they put him on every single floor seat. Meanwhile, the Young Bucks couldn't even bother to have more than like 8 or 9 copies posted around ringside of their band. So,
remember when the now Undisputed Kingdom were announcing that MJF was the devil? They had their signs.
Yeah. So, look, you did something not original, and you did it worse. Good job.
Floyd, you're stupid. I remember. I was stupid that day.
Yep, I remember that. That was so good. We go over now to the Unified Trios Champions, the Bang Bang Game. Also, want to mention this, too. If you go onto the rosters page on the website, Jay White is not listed as a member of Bullet Club Gold. He's listed as a member of the Bang Bang Gang. So they're really just that's their new name. That's their new group name now. So he talked about how they're the greatest three-man team in the gang. And there's one person who's walking around feeling confused how he ended up in this situation. That's Pac, or is it Puck? And he goes like, how's it pronounced? And basically, he's like, it's Pac. And then I think it was Austin who goes like, waka, waka, waka. And now he goes like, like, and that was Pac-Man basically. So, I wanted him to go waka 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 because
I don't know. That's how I know Pac-Man. I don't know if you heard some random guy in the crowd. It's like Tupac. I was like,
there
what?
Was a lot of instances of this segment of fans shouting shit and it being heard on TV. There was a lot of instances of that. That was hysterical. Jay White goes on and says, basically, you made 3 mistakes. One, when we were rolling backstage, you should run the other way. But that was, you stood there and you looked at us with your stupid face. Mistake number 2, we were handling business with Rocky Romero and you stuck your nose in it. And mistake number 3, you begged us to make you care. And then the pack just like, you know, I did provoke you, but listen, 3-on-1 is not exactly fair. So let me introduce you to my amigos. Lights go out, and Death Triangle, in its entirety, in its full, make their first entrance in, like, almost over a year, it feels like.
Dude,
Ray Phoenix looking jacked as shit.
So
Death Triangle's here.
Pac had an injury that almost made him retire. Ray Phoenix had an injury and then had visa issues.
I know.
The only person that's been there is old Penta, Sarah Omedo. He the only one that had this, that was together, and it's just like, dude. Death Triangle, fucking love them. The original Trios Champions. Come on, let's fucking go.
Fucking go, dude. It's gonna be an absolute banger of a match. I'm so hyped for it. We then had a 3-way eliminator match between Hook, Katsuyori Shibata, and the Bonnie Hunter, Brian Keith, in a 3-way FTW eliminator. Winner would face Chris Jericho for the FTW title at Double or Nothing. And Jericho was on commentary for this match with Big Bill on his side. Match itself, I thought, was pretty solid. I thought Hook and Katsuyori Shibata were able to really shine in this match. And the trading off of each of them just doing like overhead suplexes looked a lot of fun. They then have this moment where after Shibata hits Brian Keith with a PK kick, he gets a heel Hook submission in. But then Hook gets the Red Rum submission on at the same time. He taps out to both of them. And they declare both of them the victors. Jericho then proceeds to be like, interesting call. 2 winners on a double submission makes my job a little harder at Double or Nothing. But I'm proud of you, Hook. You've learned everything that you've learned now from the learning tree and being part of the Jericho Vortex. He just continues on with this whole ordeal. And he then gets Tony Schiavone then is quickly gets a text on his phone from TK saying that it is official. It's going to be a 3-way match for the FTW title. Jericho, Hook, Shibata for the FTW championship at Double or Nothing. That's going to be a lot of fun.
So, I had a problem with this ending. Only one problem with this ending.
Go ahead.
They did the exact, well, I won't say it was a submission. I think it was a pin. But pretty much a very Cinderella ending to a 3-way match on NXT the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally. It was Wesley, Josh Briggs, and fuck if I know the other guy. The other guy, and they were in a 3-way match, and they both pinned Josh Briggs, and now it's going to be a three-way match at the next pay-per-view. And it was just like, okay, so I guess you can't change. I mean, I'm reasonable. I imagine you shouldn't change the ending of a match, especially if you've been preparing for that ending for a week just because it right. happened the night before. But, man, I feel like there was a different way to do it. You know, you got to audible a little bit, maybe Big Bill and Jericho go in there and beat up all three. And then, you know, you set up the three-way match that way. I don't know. But it's just like, dude, you need something like to do like very similar endings two nights in a row was. It was kind of crazy. As a person that watches both of the shows, I'm probably one of very few that just watch, you know, flat out watches NXT and AEW. It was just to see like, oh shit, I just saw this on the other show. That was kind of great.
That is pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
But the match itself for Double or Nothing, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. Also, small little touch. I like the fact that in the back, this is a small touch that I care about. In the back of the image that they tweeted out for the match, you can see the hook symbol in the back behind Jericho's head. I like that little touch.
Hook symbol. He's Batman.
Yes. Hook signal in the back is a lovely touch that, you know, stupid people like me care about those small little things. I like that. So we then had Konosuke Takeshita beat up Matt Sydal. In that match, Takeshita then continues to beat up Sydal with a reverse German, beating him up. John Moxley then comes out. He comes out with the IWGP World Heavyweight title, and he takes the microphone and bashes it into Takeshita's head and says, "I'll see you at Double or Nothing."
Yeah.
Very simple segment, very simple match, very simple way of just getting people excited to see Moxley versus Takeshita.
The regular matches we have on the show, that's probably my most anticipated regular match.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. For me, it's still Ospreay versus Roddy, but I can see that 1,000%.
Yeah, I remember Takeshita versus Moxley the first time on Dynamite, just like, you know, Takeshita was the young, just kind of up and comer, and they just beat the shit out of each other. I'm like, with Takeshita actually getting that respect, I can't wait to see that match.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I will say, considering the insanity on this show, this segment seems very pedestrian in comparison to what's coming later in the night.
Yes.
I'll just say that real quick. We then had, first of all, a nice little moment of Swerve crumpling up the piece of paper of the Darby Allin thing because the EVPs go, have you seen Darby? He's like, what up, turds? He's like, have you seen Darby? He's like, no, dog, you know I haven't. And he crumples it up and throws it out. He's like, play my music. And what's funny is you have Matt screaming at the music guy to play the music, and the music's already playing at this point, and yet he's still screaming. And I'm just like, guys, y'all are trash. You can't even get your stupid segments synced up with the music. Y'all are trash. Y'all are trash. But it was a funny little moment, I will say, which transitioned into Swerve Strickland versus Nick Wayne. Revenge! For Nick Wayne, perhaps? Nah, you dead. Once again, Swerve Strickland's going to beat up this child. I love the fact that these two got another match. I love the fact that we got these two going at it with the roles reversed now. I liked how Swerve proceeded to whip him with his leather belt and just get some momentum in. And, dude, it was such a good match. I thought this match ruled. And I loved the way that he used the house call kick to just like setting him up for it, basically, and talking him down like while he did it. Like, I just love how Swerve just has this maniacal way of just treating Nick Wayne, and this time he actually deserves it. So, you know, it's pretty cool. I thought this match was very cool. I'll wait until we get into what happened after the match. I want to just get Floyd's reaction to the match itself.
No, the match was really good. It's one of those. Like, it was another chapter in the story. And, you know, one day that Nick Wayne is going to beat Swerve. And it's just going to be such a moment because we've seen him just get the shit beat out of him by Swerve so many times.
Yeah. And then afterwards, Killswitch comes in, jumps Swerve Strickland, then Christian Cage and Mother Wayne come down. Christian checks in on Nick, but by that time, Swerve took Killswitch out of the ring. And then chases after Christian. best thing about this, though, is the fact that he's chasing him, Nick Wayne's lying down on the outside, and he house calls Nick Wayne while he's running to still chase Christian. I died when that happened. I thought that was amazing. Christian Bertrese runs back to the backstage area. He carjacks a car. He's laughing.
My boy Grillo. Grillo getting thrown out of the car.
He got thrown out of the car.
Yes.
And as that happens, though, he looks like he's going to peel off, but then another car blocks his way. And it's Nana. He's back, and Prince Nana is back, and
just drinking his drink, like
just drinking his coffee.
He's like, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm
He's like, hey, how you doing, dog? You're in my way. Yeah. And then Swerve pulls him out of the car, and then proceeds to chase him up to the top of the SUV, DDT him on top of the car. He's gonna concerto him on top of the car with a chair that Nana gives him, but then Christian runs away eventually. So gassed that Nana's back. I loved the way this happened, and I loved Swerve being able to get a little bit of momentum going into Double or Nothing. I think this is. I like how this feud has gotten exponentially more exciting as the week.
Shout out to Nana, being in the right place, having a chair. He's an all inclusive manager, and I feel like even though the world title match is not the important match on Double or Nothing, I think with the Christian segments, they have still managed to make Swerve swerve. Even though he's not in the most important match at Double or Nothing, they have made sure you know that he is the most important person in AEW.
Yeah, no, they've made sure to make him important for sure, and they give him the respect that he deserves as the AEW world champion, and give him more heat to the storyline, which I think needed it. And like I said, the weeks that have gone by, it's gotten progressively more exciting leading up to the match that I think is going to be amazing. But yeah, we move over to Kyle O'Reilly versus Malakai Black. Now the match itself, I will say, was really solid. I thought it was some really good, nice moves. Malakai was able to get, some nice blocks that he transitioned into some submissions, and then Kyle O'Reilly nearly was able to stagger him for a moment, but then just got hit with the end kick and then got pinned. Match itself was fine, but then red strobe lights start flashing. There's a little bit of like ominous music playing, and the strobe lights stop, and then the music stops, and everyone's kind of confused, and then just from the rafters, as if the new blood itself had made its debut, fucking red blood-like liquid falls and just douses Malakai. Like, that to me looked... I don't know if you've seen the... I think it was... have you seen the scene of when Katy Perry was on... This is so random that I have this knowledge in my head. When Katy Perry was on the Kids' Choice Awards and she opened a box and got slimed in the face, the pressure of the slime being shot at her was so strong, it basically knocked her on her ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came to my mind as Malakai got literally just doused to the head. Then he falls forward, lands on his back, and is just getting rolled all over the damn thing. It splashed so hard that it landed on the LED barricade on the side of the ring. Even the commentators mentioned how they kind of almost got drenched in it too. It was so strong.
Yeah, I think there might have been a miscalculation there on how hard it was supposed to go down. I mean, but it's gravity. It's hard to control, you know, gravity. No, I thought this was cool, and I called this weeks ago.
Yeah.
Brood Edge. We're getting Brood Edge. We are getting
Brood freaking Edge.
We are getting...
Sydney is so excited.
Yes, we are getting Brood Edge. I imagine Gangrel's going to make some kind of debut. I am... got some kind of appearance with it. I'm excited for that. And yeah, this is it. You know, when you talk about the evil side of Adam, I mean, that's the Brood. That's the evil side of Adam.
It's what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, so barbed wire cage match. Dude, like, I did not think...
I better see Gangrel. I don't know if it's even possible, but dude. I want to see Gangrel.
Dude, I can't even say I dreamed of a match like this because it was so like wrestling like, major wrestling doesn't do shit like this anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So the fact that they're going to, you know, attempt it, you know, it's just like, I'm just happy. This is like, this can't even call this a dream thing because I...
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
I had put it out of my dreams. This is kind of like, oh, shit, this is going to be really awesome. And, you know, I get to be there for it. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a match that I'm so jealous I won't be in person to see. And dude, this was nuts. Next, we have the match that was specifically booked for me. This match was booked for me specifically. So if you're wondering why I was on TV, it's because I asked Tony Khan directly for this match. Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May versus Saraya and Harley Cameron. My goodness. What a group to go at. Like, these girls have been wrestling each other for the last few weeks, teamed up, singles matches, all that kind of stuff. And Mariah May and Toni Storm have got so much momentum. There was a lot of really good stuff in this match, I thought it was pretty solid. There was a point where as the match goes on, both Mariah May and Toni Storm are driving their opponents with headbutts. And then as Saraya gets hit with the sky high, Toni Storm plants Harley Cameron with the sky high, Saraya breaks up. But then both Mariah May and Toni Storm pick both of them up, smack a kiss on their lips, Storm zeros, and Toni Storm gets the victory on Harley Cameron. But that's when, like, they had still kept the Serena's dojo flag that they showed last week of on Collision. When Collision this past Saturday, Toni Storm has Serena Deeb's flag, her dojo flag, out on top of the ramp, and she strips naked behind it and then wraps it around her chest as a form of mind games towards Serena Deeb. She does that on Collision. She continues to try to do it a little bit on Dynamite. Doesn't strip, but she's still posing behind it. But then we see Serena Deeb come out with the heel of the shoe and attack her from behind and takes a heel and smacks it into her head and traps her under a chair and also, like, puts her in a half crab to get a lot of momentum on Toni Storm. Crowd did not like that this was happening to Toni Storm. Toni Storm was very much getting babyface reactions. Serena Deeb, not so much. Which, I gotta say, for a girl who just a couple weeks ago cut promos about the fact that she recovered from having multiple seizures, is kind of insane to me. But Toni Storm is just doing such amazing stuff. People love her so much for her insanity and her character work. Like, she's one of the top women in the roster. She is one of the top women on the roster. And people just love her to death. And Serena Deeb got booed for coming out there and beating up on Toni Storm.
Yeah, this is one of those things. In AEW, this is something they're always going to have to book against or book for or whatever. When someone does a really great job as a heel, they start getting cheered.
Yes.
That is AEW. That is AEW. Swerve Strickland as a babyface, another guy on the roster. Swerve Strickland as a heel, God mode. You know, it was like, oh my God, he's getting in the loudest cheers. And it's something they are adjusting to slowly in AEW. And it's like Toni Storm. I mean, she's can pretty much full on go babyface at this point because, you know, that's how she gets cheered. That's how she gets cheered right now. So, it's something that the booking team's always going to have to be looking out for.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing you got to kind of plan around a little bit. But man, I'm still so excited for that match. This match, like I said, it was solid. It did some good stuff. I think Harley Cameron gets better. It's nice to see Saraya actually wrestle on Dynamite. We haven't gotten to see that in a while. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how Timeless Toni Storm and Serena Deeb do. I think in a match, like I said, you're going to get to see Serena Deeb at her best. I know her promos have not been the best as of late, and she can't out promo Toni Storm is the problem. But I think in the match, you're going to see some really good women's wrestling, I think, in that match for Dynamite. I mean, for Double or Nothing.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. You're going to see some really good stuff from that match. Toni Storm, I mean, Serena Deeb, her, you know, put her on the mic, she's all right. You know, all that stuff. Put her in a wrestling match, and you tell me you don't like what she does, and then, you know, that's when I have a problem, because that's what she's good at. That's why she's the professor.
Yeah, that's why she is who she is. We then had the main event. Bryan Danielson versus Satnam Singh. Wild to see that on Bryan Danielson on his birthday wanted to main event the Go Home Dynamite ahead of the 5th anniversary of Double or Nothing. He wanted a main event against Satnam Singh. And I'm like, okay, sure thing, Bryan, whatever you say. The match I thought was pretty okay for a main event. Satnam, I think, did okay for the most part. Danielson, of course, getting some nice fast movement against the big giant man that is Satnam, who even got to a point where he ripped the turnbuckle off while they were dealing with Sanjay Dutt. He low blows. Satnam Singh gets low blowed, and Danielson gets the running knee strike. I like the fact that they did need to have Danielson cheat a little bit to get the victory, and doing a lot of stuff basically to get some momentum into it. And then Satnam was doing some good. Like just being dangerous. I thought like there was a good amount of dangerous that Danielson had to do all this stuff, like gouge him in the eyes, low blow him, and just anything he could to get the victory. He was trying to do to get the victory. But the problem was as soon as Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, and Jeff Jarrett got in the ring and started beating up Danielson, the match calls it off, and then they just start doing what the Young Bucks wanted, which is to hurt him. So they're beating the crap out of Danielson. The Young Bucks and the Elite come out. And they're walking over there with a cash full of money for them. But eventually, as Jack Perry comes in and blindsides Danielson, who tried to fight back, was looking at Okada down the ramp, and then got blindsided by Jack Perry. As this is happening, though, all of a sudden, on screen, a car shows to be pulling up to the arena. Jumping out of the car is Darby Allin, and he's got a freaking flamethrower in his hands. And then Tony Khan is driving the car. He fist bumps Tony Khan, walks to the ramp, walks into the arena, onto the ramp, and then he's waving around a flamethrower. Danielson then proceeds to throw Nick off the stage through a table, and Darby Allin is screaming at the Elite with a flamethrower in his hands, and that is the closing moment of the Go Home Dynamite for Double or Nothing. Floyd, to you with your thoughts.
Dude, this was amazing. I love that FTR was written like away. It was like Bryan Danielson's by himself, so it just built up this moment, and now they're back stateside, and Darby Allin rolls up, and just a little taste. The only person that could overrule the Young Bucks as far as him getting in the building was Tony Khan, right? Because that was the thing that they announced, that when Tony wasn't there, the Young Bucks controlled the show. So the only person that could overrule them is Tony Khan. Tony Khan is the one that drove in the middle, gives him the fist bump, which is the confirmation. He comes in, and motherfucker has a flamethrower. And everybody's like, I had this one friend that just flat out said, he's like, you know, yeah, like Darby's really going to use a flamethrower in the show. And I'm like, so what you're saying is Darby Allin, you're questioning whether he would set himself on fire for a wrestling match. And it was like immediately, my bad. Yeah, he would absolutely set himself on fire for a fucking match. So, yes, you know, I mean, dude, I think any of the eight in the ring, maybe not Okada, and that's just because, you know, you don't hear Okada talk as much, but I'm pretty sure all the rest of them would set themselves on fire for a wrestling match. As long as there was, like, a safe way to do it, of course, they would set themselves on fire. And it's like, Darby, like, I will be watching for what he's wearing on Sunday. And, like, but no, I thought this was cool. I thought this was, because the whole thing was, it was going to be 1-on-4. So he didn't come in with a chair or something to attack anybody. He came at something to keep them at bay. And nobody's running at a flamethrower. No one. You're just not going to run at a flamethrower. It's not that important. All of a sudden, you know, what's important in life starts ringing through your head. Like, huh, I wonder if that's really that important. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I thought that was pretty cool.
Now, I got to tell you right now, this people are going to think this is an insult. I promise you it's not. I promise you it's not. I know in many instances when people say this, it is an insult. But I just couldn't think of anything else to describe this other than this. When I saw, it wasn't even the fact that Darby Allin had a flamethrower. Shockingly enough, that wasn't the thing. It was the fact that a guy who owns the company who got TK drivered a few weeks prior was on the NFL draft wearing a neck brace, proceeded to drive up a guy who was banned from the arena by the EVPs who had a flamethrower. He drove him to the arena and brought him there to kill his EVPs with a flamethrower. That alone made me just go, they just jumped the shark. They just jumped the shark. I promise you, I don't mean that in a negative way. I was laughing so hard when this happened. I was in stunned silence, turned into uncontrollable laughter. Anarchy in the arena, the dumbest, stupidest, most insane pro wrestling garbage you have ever seen. And listen, was it stupid? 1,000%. It is Darby Allin with a flamethrower being driven by his boss to go set people on fire. That was what was presented. Of course it was stupid, but pro wrestling is stupid. So I'm not going to act like I'm too good for this shit. This is so dumb. It was so dumb that it was amazing. And again, it's going to lead up to a match with Anarchy in the Arena that's going to be just unbelievably insane. What a way to close out the show, genuinely.
Dude, if that doesn't get you excited for the show, you weren't watching the show anyway. That you just weren't going to watch the show. And that's fine. I mean, like, I'm very open about that, you know. But it's just one of those things when people that don't watch the show criticize the show and then come in and say, hey, this is why I don't watch the show. No, you don't watch the show because you don't want to watch the show, which is fine. But nothing... If someone changes it to the way you want, that doesn't mean you're going to actually show up. So this is one of those things. This was like an AEW moment for AEW fans, and I loved it.
There you go. There you go. That was the go-home Dynamite for AEW ahead of Double or Nothing. Real quick, we're going to do a preview of what we're going to have for Rampage this week, which is going to air at 6 o'clock, special start time, 6 o'clock Eastern. So for this match, show, we're going to have Pac versus Rocky Romero. We're going to have Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander versus Anna Jay and Alex Windsor. Roosh versus Isaiah Cassidy. And Samoa Joe will be in action as well. One other thing, too, the show, the Dynamite that we had also announced that next week on Dynamite, we're going to have the Forbidden Door Casino Gauntlet, where the winner will challenge the AEW champion for the title at Forbidden Door. So we're getting a casino gauntlet or sort of thing. Nothing about a casino battle royal, though. So nothing related to that for Double or Nothing. But there's a casino match. It's on Dynamite next week.
Yeah, I don't think the casino battle royal is going to be a thing. It's going to be casino gauntlet match. Yeah. So I think it's going to be similar to the Gauntlet match that got Will Ospreay the title shot. So I'm looking forward to it. I have my idea. Like, there's a wrestler that's been gone for a while that I want to come back by the name of Keith Lee. So I'm hoping he is healthy enough to come back.
I hope so too, dude.
Because, you know, I would love to see him win that and get Swerve at Forbidden Door. I don't know what way they're going to go. No clue, but I'm looking forward to whatever, whoever they decide. There's a few people that I could see would be a good spot for Swerve. I think, in essence, I don't know if he'll get the spot, but, you know, Ricky Starks would be a good spot for Swerve there. I think it would be a good chance to go with someone that is not currently being, like, booked hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
Because if you just want to go number one contender, you just pick somebody that was off the ranks and, you know, go with that.
Yeah, so. And then the only match that's been announced for Collision this Saturday in Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena is Brian Danielson and FTR versus Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, and Jeff Jarrett. Now, my sister Sydney did tell me that she will be going to Collision. Will you be going to Collision, Floyd?
I am absolutely going to Collision.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
If there's going to be a wrestling show in the city, I'm going to the wrestling show in the city, okay?
There you go. Yeah, so that is everything with AEW from this week. Now, let's go get right into it, dude. Let's get into our predictions for AEW Double or Nothing, fifth anniversary of Double or Nothing. So, starting off, we have the Unified World Trios Champions, the Bang Bang Gang versus Death Triangle. That's another thing they did announce is that they're going to have an eliminator match, basically. They have to wrestle on a Collision in order to confirm that the titles will be on the line.
Yeah, it will be the Lucha Bros versus the Gun Club.
Yep, so they'll have that match at Collision. If the Lucha Bros win, then the titles are on the line. The Unified AEW World Trios Championships will be on the line. As cool as it is to see Death Triangle back in its full force, I see the Bang Bang Gang winning, hopefully with a returning Juice Robinson helping Bang Bang Gang get the win, is what my hope is.
Okay, that would make sense. That would be, I've been calling for Juice Robinson to come back. Honestly, Britt Baker's been a little longer, but pretty much as long as I've been calling for Britt Baker to come back. So if Britt and Juice could somehow come back at yes, Double or Nothing, that would be the best. But yeah, prediction on that match, I think we go Bullet Club Gold, Bang Bang Gang. They're no longer the Bullet Club Gold. Bang Bang Gang, I think they'll go ahead and get the win. Other than Juice Robinson, I don't know how you do it. And I wouldn't be mad if they go Death Triangle and win. I would not be upset. That's one of those ones that they could go either way and I'd be pretty okay with it.
Yeah, I'm super, super excited for that match. And we'll see if they're going to be putting the trios on the titles on the line. They should on Collision, but we'll see in that case. FTW Championship, a three-way match between the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata. Shibata and Hook are going to cost the match for themselves somehow.
Oh, I mean,
will get the win.
Yeah, that's how this match is. That's how it's booked. I feel like Samoa Joe is going to, you know, like yell at the two afterwards, and we may see a little Hook and Shibata tag team action. But I don't see a world where Jericho loses this match. He has taken this storyline that nobody wanted. No one wanted it. And he has made it fucking work. And if anybody else is saying that he hasn't made it work, you have to explain wrestling to me because you know more than I do.
I guess so, yeah.
Yes, because this has worked. He is getting the right kind of heat. It is not go away heat. He is turning this to straight heel heat, and it is beautiful to see when somebody is just really good at their job, and that dude's amazing at his job.
Jericho is good for a reason, dude. It's good for a reason.
There's a reason his name helped launch this company. Say what you want. There's a reason.
Yep. Orange Cassidy versus Trent Barretta. Obviously, these guys have been feuded for a few weeks now. Orange Cassidy losing all his best friends. Trent now wanting to beat the crap out of him. This is the first singles match I believe we're getting with these two. And I think, God, at this point, it seems like all the heels are winning right now. I think Trent should win. I think Orange Cassidy will win.
If Trent doesn't win, release him. Because literally, you've taken him away from Orange Cassidy. And that kept him relevant. That kept him on TV, right? So, at this point, you're like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. You're not with Orange Cassidy anymore. You got to push him. He has to beat Orange Cassidy. I think it's Don Callis turning on Orange Cassidy and Trent joining the family. That's how I see it going now.
Okay. Makes sense for me. But I think for some reason, I still think Orange Cassidy's going to win. But I think Trent should win. But I'll just, to make stuff different, I'll pick Orange Cassidy. John Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. If Takeshita won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, oh my God. But I think it's going to be Moxley.
This is an eliminator match.
My apologies. Yeah. So that makes it believe that's why Takeshita would win.
Yeah, I think Takeshita's going to win, and then they're going to run him back at Forbidden Door.
All right, there you go. I always forget that it's an eliminator match, yeah. The TNT Championship Barbed Wire Steel Cage match, Adam Copeland versus Malakai Black, also known as Brood Edge versus Malakai Black.
Yeah. Again, I don't think I feel like we're doing too many turns, and I don't think they're going to do that many turns. But Kyle O'Reilly turning on Brood Edge seems like the way to go, but that just seems like a lot for one show. Maybe they do it, maybe they don't. So I'm just going to go with Brood Edge.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Brood Edge. I'm not going to go with a Kyle O'Reilly heel turn. I'll stick with Brood Edge getting the victory. Moving on, Timeless Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb for the AEW Women's World Championship. Toni Storm is going to reign supreme all the way. Love Serena Deeb. She's so spectacular, but Toni Storm is unstoppable.
Yeah, Toni Storm. It's one of those ones. I feel like something has to happen after this match because this feels like just another defense. So I don't know if Britt and Jamie come back. Because I think when they come back, they're both coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in having Britt and Jamie come back to fight Mariah and
I think that would be huge.
Toni Storm is a big deal. And I don't know how you do Double or Nothing, the first Double Nothing, the 5th year anniversary of Double Nothing without Britt Baker. She was the face of the women's division to me.
I know.
Even right now, she's still the face of the women's division. You need her there. Like, it's just like, it just feels weird to me. Hangman's not on the show right now. He's not announced for the show.
Yeah, it's wild. It's nutty to me. I 1,000% agree. Like, if we can get Britt Baker returning, at the very least, would be massive. Would be massive for the women's division and massive for giving a big matchup for Toni Storm. Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Moné for the TBS Championship. Mercedes Moné turning heel, fully turning heel, and winning the TBS Championship. She can turn heel either after the match or during the match. Doesn't matter. She's winning the title, and Mercedes Moné is going to make money with the TBS Championship.
Yeah, Chris Statlander. I've said her and Stokely were turning for months now. This is not a new thing. I've been on this kick for months that Stat and Stokely are turning on Willow because that's the price to pay when you mess with Moné.
Very, very, very true. The AEW World Championship match, Swerve Strickland versus Christian Cage. I know some people have actually told me the idea of Prince Nana turning heel. I never want to see that, so get that out of my mind. Swerve Strickland, in his first title defense, will retain the AEW World title. Be a very exciting match, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a lot of interference. There's going to be a lot of crazy shit. But in the end, he hits that house call. 1, 2, 3, match over.
And then finally, Anarchy in the Arena. Team AEW, FTR, Darby Allin, Bryan Danielson, versus the Fuck Bucks, Okada, and Jack Off Perry. For my own sanity, I'm picking Team AEW. It will not happen. The new Elite will win. But I'm picking Team AEW for my own sanity. It will not happen, though, because this company hates me.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a Hanger comeback, but
I
maybe
would love that.
But maybe Hangman doesn't come back and join the side you think he joined.
If that maybe. Floyd, if you also throw in Hangman Page into this group, I'm turning off my TV. I'm just letting you know that you can find a new podcast host. I'm turning off my TV.
Well, it just makes sense, you know. This is the I Hate CM Punk.
I'm aware I made that statement, but like, don't honestly like give more credence to my statement is all I'm saying.
The crew, it's the I Hate CM Punk crew, so I think they're gonna go like nobody was on the I Hate CM Punk bandwagon hired in our boy.
He was on it. I second to the Young Bucks.
He's like I was there before anybody. I was saying fuck CM Punk before anybody was saying fuck CM Punk. So yeah.
Don't let it happen.
I don't want it to happen, sir. But yes. It just seems likely that. Because you know you really do want to keep Hangman heel for to go after that's the only way he can go after Swerve, right?
I mean, it's true, yes.
So you want to keep him heel. The Young Bucks just give Hangman a title shot on basically at that Gauntlet on Thursday. It just seems like it works on so many levels. Hangman coming back and joining the Elite instead of joining the AEW side. You're going to think he's going to be Team AEW, and like Hulk Hogan, like the Hulkster.
He's the fifth man.
He is the fifth man.
Oh, God. All right. Well, that, I think, will close it out for our Double or Nothing preview. It's going to be a wild show that I am sad I can't be at for sure. And I hope y'all have an amazing, amazing time. But we're going to go ahead and real quickly do. There's one other thing of news that we got to talk about. And it's in regards to another AEW pay-per-view.
So I've heard this one is confirmed. AEW, because of fans saying that All In and All Out were too close within a week of each other. Basically, I've even said it. Because they were so close together, I was like, I can't go to All Out. I just can't. It can't happen. You know, I get back from London and Monday, and I'm supposed to be at All Out on Sunday. No way in hell is going to happen. But TK said, I listened to the fans, and they have moved All Out off of Labor Day weekend, the traditional Labor Day show. I went to every Labor Day All Out. So they've moved the traditional Labor Day show away from Labor Day and moved it a week later to September 7th. And it's going to be at the Searson Arena, my spot. I love it. I love that place. I know I'm the only one. Everybody else wanted it to move to United Center or move anywhere. I've always wanted it to stay in the Sears or whatever. What's it called now?
Now Arena.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What's it called now? Get it? Now. I said it. No. I'm excited because it's staying home. I'm 98.7% sure I'm not going to go to the show just because, you know, I will just literally gotten back from London. But I am excited that it is staying home in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm going to try, but the problem is, though, is that there's a big college football game that I want to cover for work, and it's Michigan versus Texas. This is a big fucking game. I would like to cover that, and it's literally that day.
Gigantic game, sir. Yeah, game.
Gigantic, yeah. So yeah. I might go, I might not. We will see. But if it happens, I'll for sure announce it on the show.
Scream Texas. Yeah, my cousin plays for Texas, so I have to go for Texas. It's just,
Texas has still got Ewers. Meanwhile, Michigan